Welcome to America's Jobs Team. At Consultant Connect, we believe the greatest force for change is a job, but it requires amazing, talented economic developers. Each week, we will go deep with America's jobs heroes on their leadership journeys, with the belief that when leaders get stronger, their communities thrive.
Thank you so much for tuning into this week's edition of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I'm Nick Riashi, and today I get an opportunity to speak with Tracy McDaniel, who is the president at TIP Strategies. She has over 33 years of experience and has advised for five different governors over the course of her career. You're going to absolutely love this interview, so please listen in. Well, Tracy, I can't thank you enough for joining us on the podcast today. I want to jump right in. What is the biggest challenge that is facing leaders today?
You know, as I thought about this, there is a long list today, but I only want to talk about two areas that I believe are impacting every leader in every company in America. And the first is the impact of technology, and second is the shift in the workforce. And I deal with the technology first. The internet changed the world in ways that no one anticipated. We have artificial intelligence and big data, and no one could predict what that could do to the world today. And there's so many things that are happening. If we think about our lives and how it's changed the last 30 years, we now can send a message instantly to another person in lightning fast speed, and even reach millions of people with a single post. I took a look to see some of the top Twitter accounts in our country, and at Katy Perry has over 108 million followers. Followed by that is Barack Obama at 107 million. A single post can reach that many people and go viral. We can't compare the price of any product with other competitors across the globe through Amazon. Right today, we can look at an item and know exactly what the competitive costs are. And we've never been able to do that. I think there are platforms that exist like Uber, Airbnb, Amazon, Alibaba have disrupted and even challenged companies in America and across the globe. And in some cases, there are casualties in business because they can't survive this competition and the demand that a consumer has today that is so rapid and so responsive. But now imagine what big data will do. The ability to use technology to collect massive amount of data and then analyze that and provide insights for decision making. It could give us the ability to make even quicker and more informed decisions. But I think it puts a challenge on organizations that are think tanks and researchers. And we may see some casualties in those areas because it would be very hard for them to compete with some of the amounts of data that's available. But having access to this information, there is a silver lining, I believe, because we can solve and get insights to many of our world problems like cancer, pollution, and hunger. I think artificial intelligence will disrupt the workforce in ways that may clean houses in certain areas as far as eliminating workforce, and that becomes a threat. If I look at my household, and this is very micro, but today I have a VAC that is a robot. I have Alexa Echoes in my home. I have a smart home. And these are things that are making it more efficient, but it also is a collector of information, if you will, that can change our lives. Recently, an example I thought of was this new Face app. It's a mobile app that was developed by a Russian company, but it offered an aging feature that everybody went crazy about over the last couple of weeks. You know, after over 100 million images were uploaded and data was shared, we quickly grew concerned that there were some privacy issues, but the deal is done. You know, people now volunteer this information for free. So our challenges are, how do we contain this, if you will, or is there a way to contain the sharing of information that is so organic or could look like a fun game or app? Let's take a look at the second big issue, which is the shift in the workforce. And I believe that the big thing that we all will notice is that there's a generational shift that's taking place in the workforce right now. But I'm talking about something a little different. I want to go back to a shift that requires, you know, that store clerk who could be able to ring you up and look at a discount that you can pull up on your mobile phone that gives you competitors rate at 20% less. Can that person make a decision at that point to give that discount at that retailer? And I think that is a shift that we probably haven't thought of, but it's a shift of empowerment and leading in areas where we empower people who are doing the work to take charge and make decisions that are needed. And tech departments have become more than just a service to companies. They are now key drivers of innovations where companies can quickly and creatively design new products, services, solve customer problems, and leapfrog the competition. But leaders of technology teams have to keep in mind that the vision is important. And for them to be competitive, that vision needs to be clear and involve the entire organization from a macro standpoint. And it also needs to be crystal clear for each product or service at a micro standpoint. So I think we're challenged today to be able to provide a better, faster service product to consumers because it's required. And I think companies will be challenged and leaders will be challenged by this.
A lot of that stuff too is leadership 101, but we have to rapidly make these decisions and we have to actually put this stuff into place. So I think those are really good points. So, you know, kind of to turn the tables just a little bit, you know, what's a behavior or trait that you've seen in leadership that has kind of derailed a leader's career? And, you know, how do you guard against something like that happening?
The thing that comes to mind is the failure to build and lead a team. I mean, you have so many leaders that have these fast track organizations, and so often there's no connectivity from leader to the team. And I think it's important that we work to integrate, to understand our team so we can do better staffing. We can manage better. We can understand delegation. If you're not building a strong team, you fail to delegate. You're unable to recognize individual value. And leaders need to be able to trust their teams to get their jobs done. And I think failure to build a team is a very common way. But there are always ways to prevent that type of derailment. And the first thing you have to understand is education and leadership development is dynamic and it's ongoing. Just because you're in a leadership position does not mean you stop with the development of yourself as a leader. So being able to continue to have a mentor, to get 360-degree feedback from your team at all levels, being able to have a coach, a development coach was instrumental in my career in making a decision from being a COO to moving up to a CEO potential spot. So all of those things are very critical, and I think they can help in any areas of derailment.
Well, and I think you make a good point. You know, I had a conversation with one of our, you know, local leaders, a CEO of a company here, and he mentioned about the things that he was trying to do for his organization, his company to scale, and everything that he mentioned was all great, but none of it was working. He didn't have the right people in place. So it wasn't a culture problem. It wasn't a process problem. It was the people that he had in place. And it's kind of a difficult conversation to say, well, maybe those people aren't the right people for you.
Right.
What you're doing is the right thing, but you don't have the right people to do it. So I think you make a really good point about how do you build that great team towards success? So what is one characteristic that you believe every leader should possess? You've mentioned some really great things. What's that one X factor that you think a leader needs in order to be successful?
I think an effective leader needs to be able to inspire. You know, we all look to people and say, oh, I wish I had that character trait, or they're so inspirational. I wish I could be like that leader. people want to see that in leadership. And I think it's very important today that leaders are inspirational. Today, more than ever, they live in a bold spotlight. And, you know, we used to say, oh, you live in a fishbowl. Well, we blew that up with technology. Everyone is watching leaders. They are taking their cues. They watch them on social media globally today. So being able to inspire and understand that what you do has an impact on the people in the workforce, has an impact on your company and for the world, as far as that matters. And I think we need to be sensitive of that as leaders, as we choose to take this walk and journey, and be mindful that inspiration matters and try to touch people in a way that's more personable.
You know, Tracy, you mentioned workforce a couple of times. And one thing about our workforce is the younger people that are coming into it, they really crave that. They want to be leaders immediately. Not everyone's ready for that. What is a piece of advice that you would give, you know, a young person that is going into leadership for the first time, or really anybody that's going into a leadership position for the first time?
Yeah, I love this question because I get asked this by young leaders all the time. And I go back to that simple 100-day plan. We all heard it, you know, and we dreaded building it. But even if that plan is internal just for you, I think it's a good roadmap to really setting expectations of what you want to achieve in that first 100 days. And it could be as simple as conducting an environmental scan, understanding who the team is, visiting, having one-on-one conversations with people, either the leadership and governance or team members. It's that discovery and opportunity, because as you discover your environment and who's around and what the players look like, you are building opportunities for yourself. So it becomes a great exercise. I think the other thing that ties to this discovery point is understanding and trying to get some insights to the culture of the company. And that's very important. It goes from, you know, every corporate environment should have in their strategy culture. And understanding that will help you navigate the dynamic, how to be innovative, who some of the players are, how people get things achieved within the corporate structure, are things that are very important. And you want to learn those early on.
Yeah, I think it just comes down to your dedication to learning. And I think you hit the nail on the head there. So, you know, when it comes down to learning, you know, a lot of leaders get caught up in leading their organization or their company. They forget that they still need to pour into themselves and that they still have their own growth that they need. What are some things that you're able to do that ensure that you continue to grow and develop as a leader?
Well, you know, I still have mentors in my life. I still have people that are part of my life coaching and also career coaching, that, and it makes a difference and it helps me improve myself and develop. I also think it's good, or I am refreshed by having the opportunities to coach others. It helps me to kind of understand what some of the new challenges that leaders face and be attuned to that. And it allows me to dig deeper to understand the generational differences that are occurring in our workforce also. I have hobbies. You know, lately, one of the things that I try to do is something as simple as exploring. So I'll take a new route to come home from work because it's a new adventure and it gives you that sense of, oh, wow, what's coming next? And something that simple are some of the things that I do that help myself. And I continue to read. I mean, you have to stay up on your game and read and be involved and expand your network and get to know people to stay relevant. And I think those are things that kind of keep me motivated and also keep me in the game as far as developing my skill set even more so.
You know, Tracy, a couple of things that you've mentioned, you know, we have so much exposure to the outside world, to people, to places, to different ideas. And I think it can cause people to question their careers. How do you know when it's time to step away from a specific career, or even staying in that career, but to step away from an organization and move on?
Yeah, that's a challenge because when you are working on a project or you're part of a team and the stress level is, you know, so intense, yet you feel like you're not accomplishing anything and you feel like this is not the best use of your time. Those are signals that this may be a time to shift. Also, when you are in a position or a job and there's no opportunity for advancement and all the work that you're doing is not being recognized. I think another fact or kind of trigger for me when I was young in my career development, I wasn't my best self if I wasn't my true self. So I couldn't contribute to a team or be part of a corporate dynamic if I wasn't true to myself. And so understanding who you are and what stokes your fire and knowing that I can be that person in this job. And if ever you feel like you can't, you have to smother that, you have to tap it down. That's also a sign that you may need to look for another opportunity. And if you just darn near dread every Monday, you get through that weekend thinking about, oh my God, Monday's coming, you need another job. So, you know, there are signals and signs that are subtle and out there that will tell you it's time for a change.
Yeah, I think it even starts with Friday. If you can't wait to get out of there, you know, the same way. I mean, you know, I've had so many moments where I'm like, I love it here. You know, I'm excited for the weekend, but I don't mind, you know, being here a little later. So I think that's it starts with Friday and goes right into Monday. So
that's right.
Well, okay, so 30 years plus of experience in what you've been able to accomplish. I know there's lots of great things that you've been able to do. I want to give you a moment to brag. What is that one thing that you're the most proud of in your career? And it can be personally or professionally.
Well, I'm proud of the journey. I'm proud of that I was able to do and continue to do amazing work in amazing communities and states, meet transformational leaders, whether they were corporate or public sector. I'm proud of the achievements and wins. I'm even proud of the pain points because there was a learning lesson there. I'm proud of the people that I was around and learned from, and hopefully was able to make a contribution to them and their lives. I'm proud that I was able to make a living. I made money. That's an important thing, you know, when you are looking at an opportunity to be in a career and it be rewarding at all levels. And I'm proud to have a testimony of that journey and those experiences that I can share with people today. Because I have found a new love, and that's coaching these new leaders. So it allows me to share those moments, and that's very exciting.
Well, I love to get patriotic here towards the back end of our conversation. And I think economic development ties so much into what it means to be an American. So I want to ask you, what do you think it means to be an American?
You know, I love this question because there's so many dynamics to it. And I believe there are a lot of dynamics to my story as an American. I am American first, but I'm a Black American. I'm a woman. You know, my voice has carried the pride and hope of my ancestors and the responsibility of a legacy. And I hold that dear. I love being a Texan. I love being an economic developer because that means I'm a doer. I know how to get things done. I know how to convene people. And to me, all those things fall into being, you know, a proud American. Being American to me is having the opportunity to be a business owner. You know, I'm a daughter, sister, aunt, bonus mom. All those things are very American. And I've had a career that have allowed me to work for 5 governors. And not many can say that. So I'm very proud that America has offered those opportunities and I've been able to take them. But there are challenges. You know, when I started this by mentioning that I am Black in America, there are challenges with our society when it comes to people of color. And it's rooted in a history of inequality and separation and oppression. And, you know, there were times in my career that it hurt just knowing that there were people who made decisions about me because of the color of my skin. But as educated and a loved Black woman. You know, I've molded myself to be proud of who I am and to be able to go above and beyond and to prove that I'm worthy not only to have the same respect and equal rights of those around me, but also to be in the position that I'm in. That only happens in this country. And so what it means to me to be American is to have hope and to be resilient. And that's what I'm most proud of.
Well, Tracy, we are all inspired by your leadership, and we appreciate you taking the time to spend a few minutes with us on the America's Jobs Team podcast. And we appreciate you sharing all of your thoughts with us today.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Wow, what a great interview with Tracy McDaniel. She was so insightful, and she is a true visionary. Next week, I get the pleasure of speaking with Mike Bennett, who is the founding partner at Avenue Advisory Group. He is committed to building lasting partnerships and is always a strong advocate for his clients. He's going to have some amazing insights that include vulnerability and humility in leadership. So tune in next week for another insightful interview.